America is an experiment in ordered liberty, in a government ruled by the consent of the governed, in accordance with the rights that the Creator has endowed with us. But today, many feel that government has grown unresponsive to the will of the people and is sometimes even in opposition to the will of the Creator. What are the biblical issues at stake today as we see the upcoming election? Some issues at stake include abortion, the right of Israel to defend itself, government overtaxation and overspending, and we could go on and on. Tim Head is the executive director of the Faith and Freedom Coalition, which is dedicated to mobilizing the faith and values voters. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point, and we welcome back Tim Head. Tim, thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you so much, Jerry, for having me and for talking about these important issues.
Sure. You know, it's so interesting to me that in light of how the world is going to Hades in a handbasket and America is being, besieged, in so many different ways, certainly America as founded and our founding principles are at stake, there are still some apathetic Christians who are sort of like, well, me, I go to church, the minister preaches, I go home. That's what Christians do nowadays. To quote, that's actually part of a poem from the late Don Wildman, who founded American Family Association. But how do we mobilize the Christians?
I think that some people just don't, they don't really realize that that there are still some elected officials that really A, will listen to constituents, and B, will actually govern and make decisions accordingly. And so, you know, one of the things that we are continuing to try to get across to people across the country is, being in touch with elected officials really does matter. And ironically, one of the reasons why we see, some atrophy on a lot of these rights, these civil liberties that we enjoy, is because we actually have elected officials on the left who were responsive to their constituents and also to their financial interests. And so, instead of becoming less engaged, the true response to this, the most appropriate response to this, is to actually become more engaged for conservative Christians who are wanting to live through a biblical worldview.
Okay, let's take the issue of abortion. We all thought that the big goal was to overturn Roe v. Wade. It was overturned, and now all of a sudden, lo and behold, in different votes in different places, even in so-called red states, a lot of people are voting as if they're pro-abortion rights. So how do we understand that? In fact, some on the Democrat side or the left are thinking, well, this is the key to winning. Even, in the face of, a lot of unpopular positions that they hold. But, hey, if we can get those abortion rights, on the ballot, then we're going to win.
Yeah, good question. So, I think one of the things to bear in mind, I would say very unfortunately, is after, 40 years, really closer to 50 years of the institutionalization of the pro-choice movement, they actually are still pulling in hundreds of millions, really over billions of dollars, for medical services that provide abortion services to women. But with that, they also have marketing services built in and even fundraising services built in through taxpayer dollars. And so it's very difficult for the pro-life movement to compete financially with the pro-choice movement, just because they actually are getting federal and sometimes international dollars to kind of subsidize their work. And so that's one of the major reasons why the left wants abortion measures on statewide ballots, referendums, et cetera. But the reality is that we still find that overwhelmingly, especially in red states, but even nationally, that voters still want restrictions on abortion. I would say most voters polling currently says that they want some exceptions to it, but overwhelmingly 70% still want significant restrictions on abortions. And I think that if we can keep the narrative as well as the proposed policy in line with that, we'll certainly see much more success than not. And that's part of the reason why we've already seen 24 states almost completely ban abortion since the Dobbs decision came down almost 2 years ago.
Okay, so how do you explain Ohio? How do you explain Kansas? How do you explain even a recent congressional election in Alabama, of all places? Now, that wasn't, thankfully, that wasn't at the U.S. government level, the federal level. It was at the state level, but abortion was the key, and they're hoping to do the same in Arizona. And I can't believe that, you know, a law from the 1860s against abortion was somehow upheld, where the left is going to turn around and say, oh, see, we need to bring women into the 21st century. Vote this way. And then that would then cause the voters on the left to mobilize and vote, you know, for all the other people on the left.
Yeah. So, back to the financial piece. Unfortunately, you know, a bad message that's really well funded, if it's crafted in sort of a sympathetic way, can still appeal to certain kind of marginal or persuadable voters, and that's what we saw in Ohio. We were outspent about 8-1 in that race. Again, partly because the left has to only raise money for their political activity, but they actually, you know, all of their kind of medical, we'll call it, procedures are all funded by the government. On the right, we have to raise money not only for messaging as well as political activism, but also even for the medical procedures that we, you know, try to provide alternatives to women. So, you know, we're kind of working with a very limited financial pie on the right, which is why invariably we're always outspent at least 5-1 and frequently 10 and 15 to one.
Is there some way to turn that around? I mean, you were saying earlier that in reality, the people don't want abortion, you know, up to the moment of birth and that kind of thing. I mean, I agree when people say, look, the extreme position here is that of infanticide, and that in effect is what the left wants. We heard, for example, when Governor Newsom of California was debating Governor DeSantis of Florida, and I guess it was Sean Hannity was moderating, and he kept pushing Governor Newsom, and basically got Newsom, for all practical purposes, to admit, yeah, abortion should be up to the moment of birth if that's what the patient and the doctor wants.
That's right. So, I mean, clearly that not only just kind of intuitively most of us recognize how extreme and how radical that idea is, but then also, you know, again, the polling suggests that actually is like a 12 or 15%. That concept is supported by maybe 12 to 15% of Americans and kind of voting age Americans. So extremely unpopular position. The challenge though is it's important for us to make sure that the positions and the policies that we're pushing still fall in line at least kind of within margins of where most Americans stand, and then also, you know, again, need to be kind of strategic and also well-funded whenever we're choosing to take on a ballot initiative. And I think those are situations that those are lessons, if you will, that we've had to learn in places like Ohio and Kansas when you kind of get out over your skis a little bit and just put something on the ballot without any plan to actually fund any of it. There's a really good chance that you're going to be outspent again, you know, 10-1. And then when you lose, the narrative comes back that, people of Kansas are pro-choice. That's not the case. The pro-life communities in Kansas were not overly strategic in the way that they kind of entered into those fights in the first place.
Huh. Okay, we only have about 5 minutes left of this interview, believe it or not. So I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to bring up a few issues and just have you comment on each one of these one at a time, maybe for about a minute or so. So here, yeah. The first one, Israel. Does Israel have the right to defend itself? Some Americans are saying no, and they're closing down bridges to make their point.
Well, this is I do think that this is going to be a critical issue for the remainder of 2024, both politically as well as just culturally. And you know, one of the challenges that we're seeing is that a good number, frankly, the most of evangelical and Catholic voters in America do support Israel and support Israel's right to defend itself. But we're being stretched a little bit. We at Faith and Freedom completely support this, but a lot of evangelicals and Catholics are are saying, you know, they pushed back for 6 months, but, you know, how far are we willing to support them against Hamas? We would argue at Faith and Freedom that as long as Hamas exists, there is an existential threat to Israel's sovereignty, and they have to go all the way through with this. Otherwise, Hamas will just recultivate this, the October 7th attacks soon thereafter.
The left versus the right on the issue of open borders.
Well, again, this is a good question, I think, around most persuadable voters, especially at this point after some really tragic scenarios across the country involving atrocious crimes committed by illegal immigrants here. I believe that securing the border and at the very least knowing who is here is becoming a huge priority. In many, many situations, it's actually the number one priority. Either the economy and inflation or securing the border are the number one and number two issues right now in America. And so that's an issue that that Republicans and conservatives definitely can work on. And I would argue it can significantly mitigate the problems that we're seeing right now on the southern border. We just have to message well and then have well-executed policies once we're in office.
The economy, okay, including inflation, government overtaxation, and overspending, the economy.
Well, you know, the economy will always remain the number one issue, you know, in high times and in low times. Clearly coming out of 2020 and still having a lethargic recovery from 2020 and 2021, that remains kind of a latent issue. Inflation, you know, the Fed and the White House have tried to kind of tinker with monetary policy here in the last several months to bring interest rates down at least some, but it remains top of mind. And frankly, you know, economic leaders, CEOs, bankers, et cetera, still believe that we're in a very tenuous situation economically. And so, you know, the economy itself plus trade with China and some other Asian and European partners is going to be a very prevailing issue, I think, this election cycle. And once again, I think that's one that Biden is extremely weak on, and one that the Trump White House and Trump campaign can message well around.
Liberty versus tyranny, and even the idea of using the government against its own people. I mean, it galls me about peaceful pro-lifers being put in jail, and then you have criminals being released, you know, on their own recognizance. It's amazing.
Really is. It's you know, these are situations in the year 2024 that you know, in 1999, if you would have projected 25 years out, most people would have thought that you were, you know, that it was some sort of farcical fiction that you were portraying. But indeed, in some, you know, they're the exceptions, but there still are definitely in place. And so, you know, look, for us continuing at Faith and Freedom, we're working with White House with the U.S. House and also with the U.S. Senate around a lot of these pro-life protests that you just alluded to. And you know, we're getting some reception, good reception by individual members, but we haven't seen the full body take these issues up quite yet. I still think that there's an opportunity to do this, you know, hopefully later on this year.
Okay, we have 40 seconds for a closing thought. FFCoalition.com is your website. How can we wake up the sleeping giant? How can we mobilize the values voters in America?
Well, you know, first of all, I always try to remind people that the faith-based conservative vote remains the single largest political constituency in all of American politics, bigger than any minority populations, any LGBT populations, anything. 36% to 37% of the American electorate still identifies as a faith-filled conservative voter, and the only way that we can really be defeated, I would argue, is just apathy and lethargy. If we stay engaged and we truly work and engage with our family members and neighbors, we can actually still see really great results.
All right, Tim Head, thanks so much. All the best.
Thank you. God bless.